Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Could you imagine preaching, reading a scripture out loud and people hearing it and they're going like, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and they, because you did that, you go to jail. They arrest you. They put you in the re-education camps. Well, that's happening in the world. It's been happening for quite some time. But now can you imagine it being illegal in America to be able to choose who you're going to do business with or to preach, you know, what God says in love. The most loving way you could ever say it, but you actually said something from God's word.
Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you, whatever. I mean, whatever scripture. And the fact is you would go to jail for that. Well, 6 years ago, Francis Chan, and he's talking about history of two nations that already have done this and went through this, realizing he sees America going there. And I believe we're right. We're like, you know, the prophetic word given by, and I think about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You know, we did a whole couple programs on that. We'll make that related so you can see it. But know this, that those days are like, we're within days or months where all of a sudden this agenda goes up. You have to understand, if somebody's going, I want to kill children, for example, and God says, you know, thou shalt not commit murder,
they have no value for life.
So you're looking at, they're saying, listen, you, the presence of God's truth and word and light is revealed that what I'm doing is not right. So the way I can either repent and stop doing what I'm doing, or I can get rid of the light and stay in darkness and nobody will know what I'm doing in the dark. And that's what happens. And so they want to push the word and truth out. The question is, what are we doing? Are we prepared for that? And we'll talk about that after you're hearing this prophetic word, because we've been preparing for this day and God's been preparing others as well. But you have to be prepared, because there's a distinct difference between two nations, one nation where the church just fell all apart and it just basically died out. And of course, God obviously left them a remnant there. But another nation that it happened in, the largest growth in the history of the church took place when everything went wrong with that. As a matter of fact, let's go back 6 years now, 6 years, and listen to what Francis Chan was saying and realize how close we are to that today.
Sure. Because here's the thing, I'm not trying to be prophetic right now. I'm just using my logic, and I'm going, I think the way the world is going, the way the U.S. is going, I think there's going to come a time, and it's probably going to be sooner than later, when what I do in a public forum is going to be labeled as a hate crime. That a lot of things that we teach will be labeled as hate speech. And will these public forums even be able to take place? And as we get closer to that, and there becomes this little war of whether we can do it or not, we'll be so consumed with winning this war that we'll forget about preparing for the future. And again, let me just throw a couple examples out at you. And I'm not saying this is where the U.S. is going. Understand me. I just want to throw a thought out at you. And again, it's from history, which I'm terrible at history. But this I do know because I read it in a book. We had these communist revolutions in China and in Russia. In both revolutions, they were trying to kill the church, right? I mean, the whole point is we're gonna destroy the church. And now in Russia, everything was built around cathedrals and these priests. Everything was centered around these buildings and these teachers. The moment the government took away these teachers and the church assets, the people didn't know where to turn. They didn't know how to grow. They didn't know how to disciple. And so the church basically died. In China, same thing happened. And under Mao Zedong, they tried to they got rid of all the buildings. But there was something different about the church in China. See, what before all that happened, they had empowered the ordinary Christians. And the ordinary Christians knew how to lead others to the Lord. the everyday church attender knew how to teach others how to grow in their faith. So when they took away the leaders and they took away the church buildings, the church was fine. The people were fine. In fact, under Mao Zedong, the church, the persecuted church, grew from 2 million to an estimated about 80 million in these underground gatherings. Why? Because the people, they understood how to minister to other people. They knew how to teach other people. And I just want you to look at your life and go, okay, which camp would I fall into? Would I be one of those that's just lost? Like, wow, what do we do now? The building's gone. The leadership's gone. Or do you just go, we don't really need a building. And I know the Word of God. And I know how to lead other people. And I when I look at what God's doing with people craving this type of leadership and this type of movement, I go, it could be the Lord preparing us for the future. And it's pretty exciting to be a part of that. And I hope you get excited about that. And I hope you go, okay, what would it look like for me? And am I this leader? Am I making a disciple? Because regardless, biblically, that's what we're supposed to be.
When you think about it, it's all we have to do is learn how to do what Jesus said do. Mm-hmm. WWJD, right?
That's
we
right.
had the bracelets for years. And it has nothing to do with the world and all the love of the world and all the folks that say they want Jesus, but they really don't really want Jesus. They just think he's interesting. They're benefiting off the blessings of those that are walking with God. But the world's separate. The church is separate than the world. So the world's always going to do whatever it's going to do. But God's with you.
Yeah.
And if God is with you, if two or more of you are gathered together in his name, he's right there with you in the midst of that. But you need to know what to do.
And the thing is, though, is just like, we can't become familiar with the reality that God wants to speak to us, that he wants a relationship and know that, no, it's not just that one person or that just one individual,
right.
but you yourself. And I think about what we've talked about many times before in the program, the journey that took place when America was founded, when you look at what happened in England, is that the priest had the word at that time, but the people didn't have it.
Yes.
But when the Bible was printed and the common man and woman was able to get the word, it was just like, we can have a relationship with God.
And we learned out loud, and God just downloaded that to me from his perspective to me, and we talked about that on the program. It's called America, How We Got Here and How We Stay Here.
It's a very powerful program.
It's very powerful.
Very educational.
And what you hear on those programs, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But that's one Saturday, God just went bam and just downloaded it in my spirit. And I did my best, and I thank God for editing to get it out. But it's like we need to learn how we got here.
Yeah.
I mean, how are we going to stay here if we don't know how we got here? And as you heard on a previous program with Rick Joyner being interviewed on
Joni Talk,
you know, he did some research. You know, is America really that significant? And he wanted to make sure that he's not just, you know, he just wants to do whatever God wants him to do. And of course, the conclusion was, one, you know, America is not the kingdom of God. You think, why would he say that?
Mm-hmm.
Because Mormons think that. Mormons think it's the new Jerusalem. This is not the new Jerusalem. And it's not the kingdom of God. It's not this replacement theology either. But it is significant in what God's plans are, what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to find that out. And of course, you know, God, if we don't change, then God will move on from us. But I believe that we are, but it's going to take a serious process. So they didn't know how to do it. As you can see right now on this screen behind me, we have something we're going to talk about after the break. It's called Emmaus Road. And you think about Emmaus Road. Emmaus Road is what Jesus was walking down with the disciples after he had died on the cross, after he was buried in the tomb and he had been raised from the dead. And the disciples hadn't seen him yet. So they're talking, wondering, you know, where, you know, we don't know what to do. They're concerned because they walked with Jesus and now they're going to be identified with Jesus, which means they could die like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not yet recognize Jesus, but he was in a resurrected body. He's right there walking down this road to Emmaus. And they're talking to him like, why are you so sad? And they go, well, you know, Jesus. And they tell the whole story to Jesus, like, you know, and they didn't know it was Jesus, right? And so Jesus begins to walk past them, and he's going to just walk past them. And they had to say, hey, why don't you stay with us and
why don't
eat
you come
with us?
And they insisted.
And this is what they said. Did not your hearts burn when he revealed the scriptures? On Emmaus Road, did not your hearts, not only do we need to know the word of God, but we need God to reveal the word of God to us. Because the Pharisees had scripture, But when the word of God was revealed in front of them, they called Jesus Satan. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. And so it's not just knowing scripture. You need to know the Lord of the scripture. And so on Emmaus Road, and we'll talk more about that, you can learn how to be a disciple. Wouldn't it be cool? Think about this. Wouldn't it be cool? It's like you're just not walking off the plank or walking off a cliff, or you're looking at your big structure to be able to carry, and you're going to find out this is not going to work. But you can survive and thrive as a believer if you become a disciple and make disciple and get on Emmaus Road. And we've been seeing this for quite some time. It's here for you. You can find out more about it at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Go to Hello Church, and then you see Emmaus Road and find out which path you want to take. But we're going to talk more about this after the break. We need to be prepared for what is coming. We have to be disciples before we make disciples. If we make disciples before we're disciples, we're making disciples, but not disciples of Jesus. We're making disciples of us. So join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for matures. And as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. Sign up today.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, of all the things that could be said 6 years ago by Francis Chan, of course, obviously, if you listen to Francis now, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows it was accurate. But it's the whole world. I mean, China has begun to persecute Christians at a greater level, break down the crosses. Russia is only allowing the state church to. As a matter of fact, that I don't know if we have that footage. Well, do we have the footage of the priest in Russian church and Putin? You got to see this because what you see is the church begins to submit to government, and it's no longer the church anymore at that point. And that's what's happening in Russia. So they're persecuting, reportedly, the actual church, the ones that are following Jesus Christ. And they're not allowing that to prosper. But they're saying, but in regards to the state church, and you see why, it's because the actual church submitted to the government, to Putin. You'll see this in a minute. And so you got to be prepared. You have to be prepared for this. This is not a movie. This is not, you know, some PlayStation game.
Which is the exact same thing what happened in Germany.
Yeah, the very same thing. Well, what happened in Germany first was they got everybody so fearful that they said, listen, we need to get rid of everybody's guns. And everybody turned in their guns. Why? Before you take over the government, why in the world do they, how does taking our guns away have something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, because you can actually defend yourself if you have a gun. As a matter of fact, watch this. This is Russia. This just happened reportedly, where the president Putin is walking up, shaking the hands of the church in Russia, and the priest bows down to the president, kisses mm-hmm. his hand, and watch the fist come up to be able to punch the priest. Take a look. And so you just saw it right there. Why in the world would the church be kissing the president's hand? The kingdom of God is not from the kingdoms of this world. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of nations, all kinds of presidents, dictators, tyrants, presidents or whatever, prime ministers. But we honor the government. We submit to the governing authorities, but we bow down to Jesus and
that's
him
right.
only. And and so you're seeing that the actual church is being persecuted, but that church is submerged with the government to the point that he bows down and kisses his hand, and he feels confident enough to be able to give the fist to the church and say, you know, don't do that publicly, or whatever, you know, whatever that means. So that day's coming. And so it's not that complicated. Listen, the wisdom, we've been working really hard for a long time under the wisdom of God to be able to lay out a way that you can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're not dependent on going to some university somewhere, some college somewhere, or sitting under this or sitting under that. You can sit under Jesus and begin to become his disciple. What is a disciple? Jesus said, I'll tell you who a true disciple is. It's someone that knows my teaching and does what it says. And when you know the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
So the truth, there's freedom that comes in the truth. It doesn't necessarily that the world won't persecute you. As a matter of fact, persecution is right here now, and it's increasing as we speak. But he says that you have to, a disciple is someone that knows the teachings of Jesus and follows the teachings. Well, it's not that, it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And Emmaus Road is just like this journey, like walking as Jesus did with his disciples on Emmaus Road, where all of a sudden, you know, God's just revealed, you're reading the word possibly, or you're listening to something, or you're watching something, all these wonderful things that come up on Emmaus Road. And you can kind of see it behind me. It's like just walking down Emmaus Road as we speak. And with that, God will reveal to you. He'll speak to you. You need to hear his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. You can't, it's not optional. If we are his sheep, we learn to hear his voice, and he speaks to us through his word, and he reveals and confirms his word to us. And his word is living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It lets us know how to operate. It's what keeps us away from sin as much as we can, as long as we stay in his word. He says, thy word hath I put in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. And if we have no word in our heart, guess what we're in? Potentially we're in all kinds of sin. But you can go right now to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You see Hello Church. You hover over that. A menu drops down. Maybe you're even seeing it now. And it says Emmaus Road Discipleship. You click on that, and now you can see right now it has options right here. You got three options. And what does that talk about right there? It talks about Stephen. Stephen was a believer like any other believer, but he chose to be a disciple. He learned the ways of God. He began to serve the people of God. Then all of a sudden, because he followed God, he became a disciple of God. All of a sudden, they launched him. He did great things for God. He went down the Emmaus Road, if you would, with God. And Jesus revealed himself to him. And great signs and wonders were done through this Stephen, who used to serve tables, who originally he didn't know anything until he just said yes to Christ. Maybe that's you right now. You think, you know, I want to say yes to Christ. Well, you can make a decision right now. Say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I mean, you can do that. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And he wants you. He died for you. He laid down his life for you. We shared our stories, how we met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org. A few of our stories, but you can kind of see, you know, who we are. I mean, we all needed Jesus. I needed forgiveness. You know, I need God's grace every day, and God will walk with you as you walk with him.
We'll be right back.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment. And in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name. And you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista. And all of a sudden, the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like, because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
Hi, my name is John Maxwell. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Alexander Ortiz from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, management consultant and business owner, said, John, talk about learn. It's one of my favorite words. I love to learn. I love to ask questions. I love to grow. I love to experience new things. You know, I think it's sad. There are a lot of times we stop our official learning when we graduate from school and we basically say, okay, now I don't need to learn anymore. I've kind of got it. I would encourage you to be an everyday learner so that you can be an everyday grower. In fact, I had a friend of mine one time say there are basically three phases in life. The first one is learn. Get on a major curve to learn all that you possibly can, and the more you learn, you can go into that second phase, earn. You earn more money, you earn more respect as you learn and as you grow. And if you do that well enough, long enough, you can return a lot of blessings that you've received to other people. And I like that. Keep learning, keep earning, keep returning. My friend John Wooden put it this way. It's what you learn after you know it all that counts.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But even the young children are being touched. I'm telling you, simultaneously, while you're seeing some of these evil plots and things and darkness go on, children are beginning to be moved by the power of God. As a matter of fact, look at these young children, this young girl praying for the adults in her church gathering. Take a look.
Come on. Well, tonight I'm going to be preaching about receiving the blessings. So how many of you guys know what an umbrella does? It blocks the rain from touching you. How many of you guys know what a funnel does? It receives the rain. And the rain is the blessings. And how many people in here want some blessings? You could count my foot in too. Like in 1 Kings 18:41, it says, I hear the abundance of rain. I hear the abundance of rain. I hear the abundance of rain. The rain won't stop until you receive it. The rain won't stop until you receive it. Now, the other day I was at the pool. And I was praying for my friend, my next door neighbor. and I had my funnel open, so I was receiving a lot of water. And so when I prayed for him, he started speaking in tongues. I went like, speak. And he just went, brashakarabababa. How do I stop this brashakarabababa? I'm like, you can't. That's when you start laying your hands on other people and saving them and bringing them to the kingdom of God. And when you feel the presence of God, time goes by so fast. You're like, oh no, a little longer, please. No, please. But if you're like,
come on,
not enjoying this, you'll be like, another hour. Oh my God.
That's amazing. The young girl get in touch with the fire of God, the word of God, relationship with the Lord. And the one thing the Lord has shown us, and that's what we hear. We hear the sound of rain. You think about it. We're not here to tell you the end is here.
Yeah.
We're here to tell you the end of what you know is here, but the beginning of an awesome move of God is coming on the face of the earth. It won't happen like you think it probably will happen. It won't fit in what you think it'll fit. But if you're willing to receive whatever God wants to do, ever how he wants to do it, you can be a part of what God is going to do. And one thing that we've done at the VFN Dream Center is prepare for that. We've been preparing for that day. And if we're doing the very same thing, one of us is relevant, right?
That's right.
When God begins to prepare, he has a thing that he has done, which is him, and we need to honor it. But when he begins to do a new thing, when he begins to establish a new thing, put streams in a desert place, we have to say, you know, do I want to be a part of the old or the new? What, God, what are you doing? And God, the report is over a billion young people will come in the harvest that's ahead of us.
That young lady reminds me of a vision I had, night vision, where this young teenage girl was sharing, just like this young girl, real brief. And after she shared, it was in a pretty big stadium or gathering, auditorium of sort, she began to start laying hands on people to pray for them. And just, you know, one by one, I'm looking at this take place and I go, well, that's nice, you know. Then all of a sudden, she got to about the fifth person and prayed for them. And, I mean, an entire row fell like dominoes.
Wow.
And the camera panned all the way back. And it was at that point I could see the depth and how large this place actually was. But I would say at least 25 to 50 people just fell right over just on the power of God.
So she's saying, I was receiving rain, lots of rain, the power of God. She went and spoke and prayed to over this guy. Instantly, he received the baptism. And all of a sudden, she said, now you go do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing is going to come. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.